ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
How Australian meat ends up on any dinner plate is not an accident. From the most expensive steak to the cheapest chop, every morsel is a product of research programs that influenced how the farmer raised the animal, technology that revolutionised how it was processed, and backed by a marketing campaign that set shoppers salivating. Since the late 1990s, Meat and Livestock Australia has been investing in the experience of meat eaters, both in Australia and abroad, even if most of them may never know it. And it's about to enter a new era, as Callie Buchanan reports.
Few consumers would have ever heard of Meat and Livestock Australia. And if they have, it's probably through this.
Is that lamb?
But there's much more to the MLA than inspirational lamb ads that get 3 million views on YouTube. As the Research and Development Corporation tasked with fostering the long-term prosperity of the red meat industry, it's their job to fund projects to help farmers produce more meat, to get consumers to eat more meat, and to entice foreign countries to buy more Australian meat. With the cost of living putting pressure on households while the prices paid to farmers stagnate, it's a pivotal moment, and one that will have a new leader to navigate it. After an extensive recruitment process, Michael Crowley has been selected as the next Managing Director of MLA.
Before I left, I was the General Manager of Research, Development and Adoption, looking after a very large portfolio of R&D investment across the whole supply chain. I've also previously been the International Business Manager based in Europe. I was looking after marketing and market access for Europe and Russia. And prior to that, I was the Meat Stands Australia Manager for that program. So that was 14 years of my time at Meat and Livestock Australia.
Most recently, you've been at Hereford's. What has that added to your viewpoint on where the red meat industry is at the moment?
As the CEO of Hereford's Australia, I've really been looking at where is the industry going and what do breeds and breed societies need to work on to deliver against those industry priorities. I think for Hereford's Australia, it's really been about getting our seed stock producers really connected with their customers and ultimately designing breeding programs that deliver outcomes that benefit the customer and ultimately the consumer. So we've had a very strong focus on eating quality, sustainability and productivity. And I think when those things come together, we have a look at overall long-term sustainability, not only of the breed, but the role of the breed in delivering what the industry wants. So I think when I start getting back into the broader industry view, being very customer-focused, understanding those big trends, and unpacking that in a way that benefits livestock producers across beef, sheep and goats.
Mr. Crowley will start in the top job in May, and one of his first tasks will be to develop the new five-year strategic plan, setting out how MLA invests its funding, which comes from a mix of levies, grants and contributions. Farmers pay a levy every time they sell cattle, goats or sheep, but consumers also contribute through the federal government, which matches the levies dollar for dollar. It's big money. At the 30th of June 2023, the corporation had 461 current contracts worth more than $550 million on the books and had invested more than $111 million in marketing in that same year. Mr. Crowley says he'll focus on navigating megatrends and translating customer needs into value for livestock producers.
MLA's strategic plan aligns very closely with the meat industry strategic plan, which is Red Meat 2030. And I think having that longer term industry plan, it allows the MLA strategy to really have a look at all of the investments that are in progress, what was delivered over the last 5 years, and start shaping MLA's investments to address those big ticket industry priorities going forward. And as part of that, there's a really important component that is very close consultation with the peak industry councils and livestock producers to help shape that strategy going forward. And then also working with the experience within MLA and having a look at the outcomes and impact of the investments that have been made over the last 5 years and what shape those investments need to take in the future. And then you need to put all that together in a very clearly articulated plan going forward. But, you know, I guess the approach that I take is really looking at being customer focused, looking at those big mega trends, and really translating that back into delivering value back through the supply chain to the producer, who ultimately has to benefit. And you know, I think there's some big trends coming forward that that the next 5 years will need to address.
What sort of trends?
Well, I think sustainability is going to remain front and center. And I think we need to look at the broader definition of sustainability and make sure there's a very neat balance between economic sustainability, environmental and social sustainability. So there's been a lot of investments in the environmental side, and I think that needs to also connect very closely with the economic side. There needs to be enough money in the system for producers to be able to invest in their business that will also ultimately lead to positive environmental outcomes. So we can absolutely be productivity driven, and I think that will lead to better longer term sustainability in livestock producers' businesses.
Do you think we also need to take a look at what we mean when we talk about productivity in that context, and maybe the measures that have been used in the past to determine success need to be looked at with different variables like environmental and economic sustainability?
Yeah, look, I think productivity means different things depending on where you are in the country and what your priorities are in your production environment. So, you know, further north, looking at both fertility, more kilos of production per unit of input, looking at low-cost production systems whilst also improving eating quality for the consumer. Moving further south, it's really about how to get to the next level of efficiency and productivity. I think it really depends on your business and your region. We look at sort of big industry level priorities, but then we need to implement local solutions. And that's really where I think we'll get that level of impact, when you tailor solutions to very specific needs.
A megatrend is a transformative global movement that can play out over decades, with a profound effect on what consumers spend on and how markets operate. In 2022, Australia's National Science Agency, the CSIRO, identified seven global megatrends in a once-in-a-decade report. They included adapting to climate change and resource constraints through things like alternative proteins, geopolitical shifts and conflict, the rise of artificial intelligence and automation, and consumers' demand for trust, transparency, fairness, and environmental and social governance. As the former regional manager for MLA in Europe and Russia, Mr. Crowley has a unique insight into how conflict and consumers in that region may influence the situation at home.
International global market dynamics have an impact on us here in Australia, but I guess we just need to make sure we have enough markets available, reducing those economic barriers to trade, which has been very successful through a whole range of free trade agreements that have been delivered over the last decade. But there's also a lot of non-tariff trade barriers that need to be addressed, and that will be a focus so that we have uninterrupted global access into those markets and having enough diversity in markets. But also too, I think things like sustainability enable our industry to stay ahead of being handed down regulations from importing countries that force us to behave differently. Our industry has shown a lot of leadership in the sustainability space, and as a result, we've made a lot of progress compared to other countries. So we need to continue to stay on the front foot on those types of issues and also get those insights early, make sure we're informing people and staying ahead of those big global movements so that we're prepared and avoid those market disruptions. And that's a pretty big challenge, but I think continuing to work on those fundamentals will lead to longer term certainty around our market access and availability around the world, which we rely on heavily because of how much of our production we export.
You talked there about stability, and I can't help but think of the volatility that we've seen, particularly around cattle prices and lamb prices. How difficult is it to have that sense of preparedness and staying on the front foot when there is so much volatility and, for a lot of producers, very little to feel sure of?
I think 2023 really highlighted some of those challenges. I think that price transparency gets to the top of the list pretty quickly. I think if producers really understand how their livestock are going to be valued and there's more feedback in the system, getting that feedback from carcass data all the way back through to the breeder and everyone in between, becomes really valuable, but equally, how do we send more information forward with livestock so that they're valued appropriately? That will unlock, and I think that will help avoid some of those price shocks down the track, but that was really highlighted by a few things where producers need more certainty around forecasting of the season. There was a hell of a lot of panic selling early on. No one really predicted the market coming off as far and as fast as it did. And that really highlights, I think, some of the challenges around price transparency, whether we can get more forward contracts in place, a lot more feedback and openness in that supply chain to help people prepare, because I don't think anyone was expecting to see what happened. And as a result, now this year, we're in a position where things have improved, but they really haven't taken off to the peaks we saw back in 2022. But, you know, and the market's very sensitive to supply at the moment. So we still have a way to go, I think, in some of that price transparency that the supply chain want to see, particularly producers.
While there are plenty of challenges to address, Mr. Crowley says he's excited to take them on.
Really, where we've created a lot of value in the supply chain has led to, you know, we've seen a big change in the way branded beef and lamb programs have evolved. The producers that have aligned with those supply relationships has improved a lot. And I'm very, very positive about future market access. I think if we can get a deal done, the industry can get a free trade agreement done with Europe, that'll unlock a hell of a lot more value. And then the fundamentals are pretty good. We've really driven productivity well. I think we can address a lot of those underlying low-hanging fruit to get to the next level in that productivity space. And so for me, I've been overwhelmed with the response with my appointment, that I'm very confident we can work together and develop some collaboration in the industry that really takes us to the next level. So it's absolutely an exciting time to be rejoining MLA and taking a leadership position in the industry to drive things forward.
Michael Crowley ending that report from Callie Buchanan.
If you'd like to explore even further what it takes to put food on plates around the world, join me, Callie Buchanan, and our team of specialist reporters from across Queensland as we break down the big issues of rural life, from the food you eat to the clothes you wear and the home you live in. It's all available for you on the ABC Listen app. Just favourite the Queensland Country Hour or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.